Verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 10. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now turn, please, to John's Gospel, the 10th chapter, Gospel according to John, and verse 9, the words of our Lord Jesus, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Notice verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Chapter 4 of this Gospel, or one other verse, John's Gospel, chapter 4. Verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now turn back to the book of Hebrews where we began to read, please, and notice in chapter 13. Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, God hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now I would like to link these four readings of Holy Scripture tonight just with this little word, never. Never. We read in chapter 10 of a people whose sins are never forgiven. Never. Never forgiven. Then we read in John chapter 10 of a people who will never perish. Never. Never perish. And in John chapter 4 we read of a people who will never thirst again. Oh, wonderful. Never thirst again. Satisfied. And we read in Hebrews chapter 13 of a people who would never be forsaken. Never. Now each of these passages present a truth of God's message for the world today. You know, friend, human beings were kind of strange beings. We're kind of strange critters. We always put the cart before the horse. We'd like to be on top of the ladder without ever taking the first rung. And people have failed, we human beings have failed to believe the message of the gospel, which tells us if you intend to be able to be right with God, you have to start at the bottom of the ladder. You can't start at the top. You say, what's your riddle? What are you getting at? Men would like to be able to give something to God out of appreciation, or out of devotion, or out of appeal, that they might be acceptable with God. Now friend, that's putting the cart in front of the horse. Because the Bible says, before any man, any son or daughter of Adam's race, can ever please God, he must first be born again. So the great thing, the great subject, the great matter that you and I must first go after is being sure we have a time when in our life we were born again. Now what I want to try and notice with you in these passages tonight is first of all some of the mistakes that we make, but then I want to try and notice with you very simply the positive truth of how a sinner can be sure their sins are forgiven and they're heaven bound. May I ask you kindly tonight, friend, whoever you may be, would you like to be sure of heaven? I asked that of a dear man one time, you know what he said? Ah, he said, nobody can ever be sure. Well, I looked him right in the eye and I said, mister, I don't think you understand. I said, I'm sure of going to heaven. He backed away from me and he says, you're sure of going to heaven? Who do you think you are? I said, I'm only a sinner. Well, you can't go to heaven if you're a sinner. No, I said, I don't deserve it. But I said, I have a great Savior, the Lord Jesus, and he's going to take me to heaven free for nothing. He says, tell me a little about him. And friend, that's why we're here tonight. We're here to tell you about the Lord Jesus, who can make poor, unworthy, hell-deserving sinners righteously and freely fit for heaven. That's what God wants you to have. Would you like to be ready for heaven? That's the great hope of the gospel. And that's what I would like to tell you as I close the meeting tonight, in keeping with what you have heard. The first passage then that we read in Hebrews chapter 10, we read about a people who are trying to be ready for heaven. They're trying to get right with God. Every day they're trying. Trying. Did you notice that? Every day, they offer sacrifices. Every day. You say your prayers every day? You offer sacrifice to God every day? Now without missing. If you miss, you don't even fit into this verse. If you've missed the day, you don't even fit in this verse. Here's a verse that says, Every day, the priest stands and offers their prayer, offers their sacrifice. Every day! Now listen to what God says. Every priest standeth, offering oftentimes, and that's the word for every day, endless, paying sacrifice, which can never take away sin. Now listen, my friend. God has revealed in this very simple verse, so relevant to the lives of every one of us. You likely bow your knee every day and say your little prayer. You likely take your Bible and maybe read your little verse. Or maybe you take your little prayer book or your hymn book or whatever, and you read your little portion. And day after day, you're reaching for peace within. You're hoping that somehow God will take notice of it. Friends, for every day that you have lived, heaven has written this over your record. Never forget. Never. There's never been a prayer you have uttered that has brought forth forgiveness from God. There has never been a tear that you have shed, and I hope you've shed tears over your sins. For if you haven't, you will in eternity. But tears will never forgiveness give. Never. What a frustration. Here after all these years, you have sought to gain favor and forgiveness from God. You've sought to have that peace that will bring you into heaven at the last. God writes over your record, never forgiven. Never. What a frustration. What a failure. What an awful failure all those prayers have been. All those sacrifices, friends. All totally useless. Two things are in our little text. An unfinished work and an unsatisfied life. Never. Never finished. Oh, my friend, let me remind you of the verse that follows, for in the verse that follows I find the remedy, a finished work and satisfied God. My, here's a work that God has accepted. Here is a sacrifice, friend, that God is proclaiming to the world as being absolutely sufficient to bring forgiveness to a sinner like you. Here is a work that God has accepted. Oh, how glorious it must be. There can be no failure in it. There can be no fault nor sin in it. There can be absolutely no insufficiency in it, or God would never accept it. But here is a man, the man Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus from heaven. He has gone to Calvary, and in this sacrifice of his suffering, he has given to God by the shedding of his life's blood, pouring out his life, shedding his precious blood, he has given to God an eternal satisfaction for the sin question. That's what the verse says. God, friend, tonight, while you and I are in this little auditorium, God in heaven is already satisfied as to the question of sin, and he's trying to tell you about it. Here you are, you're working at the thing, and you're trying to get something out of yourself, or out of your life, or somewhere to bring to God, to try and give you a little peace. Oh, friend, turn away from your own efforts. Turn away from yourself. There's nothing inside us but sin, disappointment, ruin. We get worse every day. God in His Word tells us that man is getting worse every day. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean, says God? No one can do that. You can't bring something clean out of an unclean thing. How then, my friend, says God, can man, who is a sinner, produce that which is pure? He can't. You can't give anything to God. You neither have the capacity, nor does God want what you have. And that's solemn, because he's already satisfied. Oh, friend, you're looking in the wrong direction for satisfaction for sin. You look where God is looking tonight. God is looking at his beloved Son,
The Lord Jesus, He raised them up from amongst the dead, a victor over death, the awful cost of sin, the awful penalty. He raised them up from that grave as a witness to the whole world that the sacrifice that this man, my son, has made at Calvary is enough, and I am satisfied. And He presents Christ to a dying world of sinners, and He says, He is the door, and by Him, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. Forgive. But listen, friend, if you miss the Lord Jesus in the day of your death, it will be written upon your brow by God Himself. Never forget. Never forget. What a way to die. What an awful eternity. Forever. Never. It is written upon your very brow. Never. Trusted the wrong sacrifice. Trusting the sacrifices of your own hand or of your own feelings instead of trusting the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus has already made and God has accepted. A once for all sacrifice. No other sacrifice could ever be brought into parallel with Him. Nothing need be added. He is all sufficient in His work. And friend, God presents the Lord Jesus tonight to poor, unworthy sinners such as we. And He says, this man, after he offered one sacrifice forever, sat down. God, friend, is satisfied tonight. And He wants you to know how you may be satisfied also. Now in our second reading, we read that word, never pass. Never. My, what a lovely word. I sometimes think, you know, we raised 5 children, and you know what boys and girls are like. Many a time in our home, the boys would get to tussling and arguing and whatever, you know, and they'd always come up and say, I'll never play with him again. Or, I'll never play with him again. And the next day they were just at it, they were just their old friends. And they were still drunk, playing away. But you see, the thing is, he couldn't keep the word. You and I, we often say never, and the boys and girls, they'll say never, and you can't keep it, you can't make it stick. I want to tell you, friend, when God says it, He knows. He says they'll never come. That's the assurance that the Lord Jesus gives to the poor, miserable sinner. And all their needs, and all their helplessness, and all their danger, all the urgency of this meeting tonight, that you, as a poor sinner, trifling with opportunities that you will never get back when nothing left, trifling with moments that are slipping through your fingers that you'll never get a grasp on again, and friends, if you miss them, and die in your sin, you'll never be forgiven. And God will make that step. You'll never, never, never. To bear the load of your iniquity, to bear the consciousness of your guilt, forever, ever, never. But who are these people of whom the Savior says they will never bear it? Never. That's why I read to you verse 9. The Lord Jesus is presented, and He's presenting Himself as an open door. My, I like that figure. My friend, when I think of the door of salvation, of opportunity and grace that is open to sinners like us, you don't even have to put a hand to it, friend. You don't have to nudge it open. You don't have to help the thing. The Lord Jesus took every difficulty out of the way for sinners. He removed every obstacle in His death and in His suffering. And when He shed His blood so willingly and so terribly and violently upon Golgotha's tree, He was willing to give His all that the door might be wide open. Oh, thank God we can tell with
confidence tonight and with urgency ourselves. The way of salvation is wide open, friend. You don't have to add a thing. Step inside. The invitation is, if any man enter in, he shall be saved.
You see, that's faith in Christ, isn't it? That's what that is.
God presents His work as being absolutely sufficient. And the moment that a sinner puts faith in the work that the Lord Jesus offered on his behalf as a sinner, that moment God says, he shall be saved. Faith. Inside, saved. Thank God. And the Lord Jesus writes these words, never perish. Never perish. Inside the door of salvation, sheltered from wrath to come, never to sink into the awfulness of hell with its unutterable sorrow, never to enter into the darkness of death without hope and alone in sin, thank God, never perish. But I read as well in verse 28 that the Lord Jesus said these people who will never perish are those that have received eternal life. You know what that means? That means to be born again. Born again. See, it's a different kind of a birth that we've heard. When you and I were born of our mother, we received natural life. And one of these days we're going to lay it down. We're going to die and lose our natural life. But when a person is born again, they receive eternal life. You can't lose that. Eternal life. My, how precious. Life for heaven that fits a poor son or daughter of Adam's race that's bound for hell, it fits them for heaven. And the Lord Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. My, how precious. Here's the hand of the Savior tonight, friend. And through His work at Calvary, He has purchased eternal life for unworthy sinners. And His hand is open and reaching forth the men and women in their sin. And if there's a sinner in this meeting tonight who has nothing to take them to heaven, nothing to keep them out of hell, let me tell you, the hand of the Savior is outstretched just to give the light to you. He knows your need and He purchased eternal life. The sinners. He gives it. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to shed a tear. You don't have to raise a hand. All this nonsense about making some kind of a decision or writing on something or raising your hand to say you get saved or saying you let you give your heart to Jesus, it's nonsense. Not of God. The Lord Jesus gives eternal life to the repentant sinner. He alone. Thank God He does give it to us. We get. I tell you, friend, if you're a sinner tonight in your need, we won't need to beg you to turn to the Lord Jesus. Ah, the Savior's hand is open with eternal life, and He longs to get it. He's watching you. He knows you. He loves you. His precious blood proves His love and was shed at Calvary. The agonies of the cross are the stamp of His love, His patient, true and pure love for a miserable sinner like me and like you. And friend, just as He gave me eternal life, that Sunday night seated on the side of my bed in misery and ruin, I knew not how to get saved. And when that little verse came into my mind, when we were yet without Christ, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, I saw for the first time in my life, He was there for my account. He died for me. Unworthy, mean, unclean, miserable, and condemned. Christ loved me. Christ died for me. And friends, sitting on the side of the bed, I just took another word. And that very day, I had everlasting life in my life.
No tingle went down my spine. No light lit up in my head. Not a bit of it. In fact, I couldn't tell you then whether I fell asleep at that moment, but I sure did after that. I was so happy to know that good news. And I have eternal life. God says it. I've got it. Oh, poor sinner tonight, let me tell you the Lord Jesus says you can never tell. What a lovely pillar to go to ground. Never. How do you ever sleep at night without a pillow like this? I ask you, young man, how do you ever sleep at night knowing you'll never be forgiven? Never. Never forgiven. Oh, a dark cloud to overshadow your soul. Thank God the Savior tonight offers you His precious word, the assurance of His word. Never perish. I must close. I want you to notice in John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus speaks to a woman whose heart is empty. The world has disappointed her. She tried everything the world could give. She tried its present joys, lived for today, and let tomorrow bring what it may. She did indeed. Oh, she tried it so deeply. And she was still thirsty. The world cannot satisfy man's heart. The devil has never calculated the world to satisfy men's heart. The devil has calculated the world to deceive men's heart. And that's what's happened. This woman was deceived, but she thought she was going to be satisfied. Then only the Lord Jesus can satisfy your heart. Only the Savior. He's the only one that can give you peace with God. He's the only one that can give you scriptural and assurance for death and eternity. The only one. And if you look elsewhere, you'll never be satisfied. But here's a dear woman, and she went home that day. I have often thought of that dear woman. Must have been a wonderful day for her. For the first time in her life, she could go home and stay unsatisfied. I found the Lord Jesus today. My dear friend, what a day. What a night this would be in your experience if you were to take the Lord Jesus at His word. And He has what you need most of all. He has eternal life. He said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. You see that in a glass of water? I neither made that glass, nor the water, nor did I even put it in there. But do you know that glass of water was full of meditation? A glass of water is put there tonight. And if you are answered, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again. Not this glass. God shall, which He purchased with His own blood, it could have just like a drink of water. You didn't do a thing. It's just there for your sake. My friend tonight, that God has. And the moment of the poor sinner that you come to see the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you accept Him, that moment, you'll be able to say, thank God, I've got it. I'll never thirst again. I hope tonight, as a poor, miserable sinner, if you've been trying, just remember what God has said. Every day offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. And my friend, you're going to go out this door tonight never forgiven or never perished. One or the other. Never forgiven or never perished. And every step you take outside that door, if you go out as you came in,
I trust the very leather of your shoes will send the message into your soul. Never forget. Never forget. Never forget. And the farther you go, the darker it becomes, and your soul is nearer to the pit of hell. Never forget. Oh, why not stop tonight, poor sinner, ere you further go? Stop and come to know the Lord Jesus and His finished work for your salvation and God's word for it. You'll never perish. Let us pray. O God our Father, we commend unto Thy kind care Thine own word. We realize that there are souls here tonight who are of more value than all the world with its treasures, and the power of the devil is determined that they will go to hell. We pray in Thy mercy that they will listen to Thy word tonight. And should there be any who are concerned about their soul's salvation, that this night they may stop and have the matter settled before it is forever too late. How solemn it would be to go away from a meeting like this and go down to hell with the words of the Savior ringing in their ears. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Oh, what remorse for us, never to be forgiven, forever lost, never born again. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt bless Thy holy word tonight for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and the everlasting blessing of some poor sinner. We pray in the Savior's name. Number 20. We will sing the first two verses of hymn number 20. Remember the prayer meeting downstairs, if the brethren will be pleased to quickly go to the basement and commence to pray without waiting for us. And the meeting tomorrow night, if our Lord hasn't come. You know, friend, we're only in the first week of what we will speak of as a series of meetings. But I want to tell you, this first week could be the last, and we believe it. We want to preach every night with this consciousness. This might be it. This is my last appeal to you. I cannot tell. The last presentation of my Savior to you, a poor dying sinner. And friend, if He comes tonight, the door is closed and you're outside forever. And I want to appeal to you tonight to face the reality. If you go out tonight without Christ, you're going out that door never forgiven. And if you die, you'll be in hell for all eternity. Sing these first two verses, hymn number 20, and the meeting is closed.